They're so far away. How far are they away? Well, if we get on our Tetra, we could probably make it there.
It's over 5,000 miles, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, it's a bit of a distance.
They better give you the whole can of soda for that
flight. I'm hoping for a meal, actually, you know.
We have Ken Fowler joining us again.
You just said it. It's
said
Kyle.
It again. It's okay. It's okay. Second
you
generation.
You should change your name,
second
man.
Generation.
Really.
It happens.
Kyle Fowler.
Kyle Fowler. Hey, it's okay. I did the same thing once to Matt Youngkin.
At least I didn't call him late for breakfast.
Yeah. I called Matt Youngkin, Bobby Youngkin, when he was on Final Approach at an air show a couple years back. And I said,
anyway,
I didn't do that.
Anyway, let's move on.
Yes. Kyle, you're flying along easy. Why?
Yes, indeed. Because it's different.
Because it's cool.
And it looks cool. Like, really cool.
It That's looks like why. It's flying backwards.
The way I look at it is air shows are all about variety, right? You got your skydivers, you got your jet teams, you got your unlimited aerobatic acts, and then you've got this group of unique, like your micro jets. Matt Youngkin.
Yeah.
Stuff
the
like that.
Marco
and the
with
long
the jet.
Easy, yeah, and the long easy... falls into that unique category. Because if you go to an air show and it's all jets all day long, eventually the noise gets a little much. And if you go to an air show where it's all unlimited, eventually you just get, okay, I've seen it before. Air shows are all about variety, and this just kind of falls into that unique category to add a little bit of variety to the show.
Okay.
I'm in.
Yeah. What engine are you flying?
I'm flying the Aerosport Power IO360. Beautiful engine. It's a little bit big for the long easy. Lots of guys still put in 360s, but I really love it. And I've got dual electronic ignition, and it just runs so smooth and beautifully, and it helps push through all those maneuvers.
Right. Are you running it up to like 4,500 like some of these unlimited guys are doing?
No, I don't do what the race guys do. Those guys get a little, like, they're doing a great job and they're making their planes go wicked fast, but
they're pushing.
I'm just
it.
Trying to look funny.
Look funny.
Well, yeah,
he's
I
up there,
he
you know,
that.
Having a crimpet, drinking coffee while he's flying his routine.
Exactly.
Probably got
taking it easy, right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
ZZ Top.
Easy.
On the
get
CD
it.
Player.
Yeah, get it.
Wow, we lost him in the dirt. I couldn't believe that. That's amazing.
Jeez, I can't believe it.
Slow day for you.
Yeah, you got
it. It's still early. It's still early.
Well,
guys.
It's still the first day, and I've had a really good night's sleep, too. So. That's
so
the problem.
Your aerobatic training and certification was probably all on a standard, quote unquote, standard aircraft.
Oh yeah.
Why the easy? Just because of the difference?
Just
value?
Because of the difference. That's okay. All it was. Like, but I mean, you have to do all your training in something
right.
Proper.
Right.
Right. You got to do your training in something that you can make a mistake and the plane can handle it. The long easy, you make a mistake and. You better have altitude.
Yeah, okay. And a parachute.
Yeah, exactly. Plan B.
Did you modify the canopy to be quick release?
No, I didn't.
Oh!
That canopy, I could push through that canopy pretty easily.
Okay. Yeah, when the adrenaline's pumping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, but every time I go flying, I go through the sequence of having to get out. I practice my quick evacuation from the plane. Probably three times before every flight.
Wow.
Just to make
muscle
sure.
Muscle memory.
Exactly. I don't want to go, oh, and then freeze. No, it's got to be quick.
Yeah, and typically since you're not flying that high, you don't have a lot of time to think.
Nope.
It's got to be instinctive.
Yep. And I got to remember all the steps, too, because if I don't shut off the fan in the back, I might go through it.
Yeah, that could be bad.
That's not nice either.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Now,
you know, that was something I hadn't thought about. Was cutting the engine before you bail out, but you're right, because you've got nothing back there to keep you from being deflected.
Yep.
The vertical fins are on the ends of the wings.
His Superman dive. He's going to be so pumped full of adrenaline when he springs out of that seat. He's
going
to go up 50 feet.
I'm going up above it.
Yeah.
Well, the trick that I've heard with some airplanes is that you roll it inverted
and you trim
full down trim so that not only do you fall out, but the airplane rolls up or goes up.
That's assuming you have the time and the altitude.
This is true.
At air shows, you don't have either.
Right. I left those at home. Sorry. Yeah.
So any way you get out of the airplane if needed is okay.
It's even better when you don't have to get out of the airplane.
Well, that's what we plan for every day we go fly.
Yeah.
There it is.
Talk about that. I mean, have you had a few times when you're like, uh-oh, and you're thinking you might have to?
I've had some emergencies, but I haven't had any emergencies. And realistically, the Long Easy is such an amazing glider. Like the glide ratio is like 18 to 1.
Is it really that high?
It's pretty good.
And well, especially with only a single person.
Yeah, you got to remember, like, the on a conventional plane, really, the Long Easy is conventional. The Wright brothers were first. They had engines in the back and a canard in the front. So the Long Easy is conventional and everybody else is wrong.
We couldn't ask him about that, why they did that.
But where was I going with it? I forgot. I lost my train of thought.
Oh, conventional
already.
Airplane urgencies.
We were talking about gliding.
The glide ratio. There it was, bailing out and all that. So, realistically, I've got phenomenal glide ratio. Unless my flight controls jam or I hit like a pelican and lose a wing, I'm riding that airplane down.
Okay.
Realistically.
I like how he aims high. Well, he's not hitting a goose, man. I'm looking for a pelican. Yeah, where's a pelican when you need one?
Take the big ones.
Well, I don't think even if you collided with a pelican, you're going to knock a wing off that plane.
It's pretty solid, but realistically, unless I don't have control of the plane where I could fly it to the ground. But I mean, even at 500 feet, if I'm in a show, I can do a turnaround and land on a runway.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you've practiced this.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
However, the pelican better have a parachute.
I haven't had any mishaps yet.
Yeah. Well, let's not jinx it.
And ever.
Yeah. Yes, ever is a great record.
Yep.
Great record.
Yeah, we've seen far too many aircraft that have had collisions with birds.
Yep.
What about yearly inspections? I mean, fiberglass frames don't fatigue and, you know, not like fabric and metal.
There's certain things that you can inspect, but, I mean, you pull it all apart, do a good... It comes down to the build. The build was solid on this aircraft. I know that for sure. There's some things that you can do to check delamination because it can happen on fiberglass, but the main thing, I always check my flight controls, replace a lot of hardware just because I'm paranoid about certain things when I'm pushing the airplane to its limit.
Oh, yeah.
And really keep a close eye on that engine.
Well, you know, you mentioned something there, delamination. What do you do to repair a delamination?
Super glue, baby.
Expanding
duct tape just won't work.
No, exactly. You got to go to the Gorilla Glue, right?
Yeah. It's,
you gotta figure out your area that's damaged. Either build a new part or you really got to take it down and
right,
far
you start
away
sanding
from
off
it.
The delaminated layers and build
you
it back
way
up.
Way back and then build it all back up again.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah. A lot of messy work.
Yeah, I usually get somebody else to do my fiberglass work.
It's itchy.
It is itchy.
Yeah.
I know enough about fiberglass that I'm dangerous with it, and I make a mess of it.
There you go.
It's usually solid, but...
Got to know your limitations.
Man's got to know his limitations. Yep.
And you and fiberglass obviously
don't
get
like
along.
I don't like fiberglass
You
all
like
that
to
much.
Fly it.
Yep.
You don't like to fix it.
Yep.
Yeah. There are a lot of boat builders out there that would agree with you on that fixing part.
I think so, yeah.
Now, the one of the design features is that the main wing, you can never get it into a stall.
Never stall it.
So it just porpoises along as the canard stalls and drops the nose?
It does a little bit. So you pull power back, you pull full back on the stick, and it's really weird because, like, you can put any input that you would never put into an airplane. You won't put aileron in, go for it. It just kind of mushes around. And what it does is the canard stalls first because it's at a slightly steeper angle of incidence, and that's the reason why you can never stall the main wing. And so it stalls and it drops the nose, and the main wing always is always flying. But as the nose drops a bit, then it picks up speed, and then it's flying again. And it does a little porpoise, but eventually it'll settle out, and it's basically flying on the stall.
Right.
So it just gets to a point like, okay, we're fast enough that we're in the stall, but we can't do anything else, and we're just going to sit here. If you move, then it'll porpoise again, but you're falling like a rock.
Yeah, that's the part you forgot about.
But you're still flying.
Right.
The wing is still flying.
So I guess there's no such thing as a snap roll.
No.
You can't stall that
wing.
You
can't stall the wing.
Right.
Can't snap it.
Right. Wow.
So
gentlemen's aerobatics.
Yep. Yeah, loop and a roll, get creative with it.
Well, yeah, right.
And if he can,
and here's a loop the other way.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was gonna say if you can't do snaps, you won't do spins either.
Nope.
With it.
Yeah, you can hear the announcer. And watch while Kyle demonstrates a loop.
Another loop. But yeah, I mean it's a spaceship. You keep the routine nice and short, you keep showing that profile to the crowd. And for most people, I mean, even people who have long easies, they come up to me all the time, like, I had no idea a long easy would do that. Like, it, the show's still pretty impressive. It's a unique show. It looks funny, and to the average person, it's like, oh, that's a spaceship. And by the time the show's done, they don't realize that it's just a loop and roll.
Right.
Right? But yeah. you do point rolls. You do half Cubans. And
how many times do you get someone come up to you and say, I've never seen an airplane that looks like that? Even though we know the design's, what, 30 years old now?
Yeah.
More than that.
I know. Yeah. It's a lot old.
Yeah, it's a lot old. Yeah, it's 70s. Yeah. What am I thinking?
Yeah, it's. I get people every show I go to. I get people coming up to me going, you know, that's such a weird airplane. And I get all the typical questions. Why is the nose on the ground? Why? How does this work? Do you have to get towed off the ground? Is this a glider? No, there's still an engine. And
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. Once you're out of the plane, you can lower the nose wheel again, right?
You have to lower the nose wheel.
Okay.
Because with the engine behind the main gear and all the weights in the back, it actually needs the weight of the pilot to hold the nose down when it's sitting level with the gear out. So once you hop out, if you don't put it on its nose, it flips over backwards.
Oh, that's kind of embarrassing.
It tips back.
Right.
I've only done it twice. Yeah. I caught it on video once, and I had some choice words apparently on that video. And then I quickly deleted the video because, you know, a little bit of hurt pride there.
Yeah, yeah, YouTube moment.
Yeah.
I will look up from the ground.
Okay,
thank you.
Very good. All right, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.